Comrades of the 35th Division, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to dedicate this beautiful park to the dead of two world wars, whose memory we should always hold dear. The brave men who lost their lives in those wars would approve of the way you have chosen to honor them. This park will be a place of rest and recreation. It is fitting that a war memorial should be something that can be used and enjoyed by the people. Nothing could be more appropriate than to devote a war memorial to those values of human life which our soldiers died to preserve. The values of freedom and peace. We are not a militaristic nation. We do not glorify the military way of life. Some nations have taken greater pride in their military victories than in any other of their national achievements. But it has never been so with this great country. We think of war, when we think of war, it is with a prayer that the sacrifices our dead have made will never have to be repeated. After every war, we have solemnly resolved to prevent future wars. We've learned, however, that it is not enough to make resolutions. It is not enough to utter them in speeches or engrave them on monuments. We've learned that we must devote the best efforts of our whole nation to make those resolutions come true. We entered the First World War to restore peace and to preserve human freedom. But when that war was finished, we turned aside from the task we had begun. We turned our backs upon the League of Nations, the international organization which was established to maintain peace. We ignored the economic problems of the world and adopted a tariff policy which only made them worse. We let our domestic affairs fall into the hands of selfish interests. We failed to join with others to take the steps which might have prevented a Second World War. This time, we are fully aware of the mistakes that were made in the past. We are on guard against the indifference and isolationism, which can only lead to the tragedy of war. This time, we will not let our decisions be made for us by a little group of men who are concerned only with their own special interests. There are some who want to reject the measures that are necessary for defense against aggression. There are some who wish to abandon our efforts toward the revival of world trade. Those are the same voices that misled us in the 1920s. They are misguided by short-run considerations. They refuse to face the plain facts. They try to convince us that we cannot afford to pay the price of peace. But the people of the United States will not be misled a second time. We know that the short-sighted course, the easy way, is not the path to peace. The task is difficult and requires firm determination and steadfast effort. We know that if we are to build a lasting peace in the world, we must achieve three essential conditions. First, this nation must be strong and prosperous. Second, other nations devoted to the cause of peace and freedom must also be strong and prosperous. Third, there must be an international structure capable of adjusting international differences and maintaining peace. The first condition is our own strength and prosperity. It is unusual for this nation to maintain substantial armed forces in time of peace. Yet, so long as there is a threat to the principles of peace, the principles on which the United Nations is founded, we must maintain strong armed forces. Any uncertainty as to the ability or the willingness of the free nations of the world to defend themselves is just an invitation to aggression. We've seen the truth of this statement. In the outbreak of two world wars, our national strength is not, however, simply a matter of weapons and trained men. Even more important are our economic growth and continued prosperity. Our economy is the center of a world economy. The hope of economic revival throughout the world depends in large measure upon the prosperity of the United States. If our production and purchasing power are badly impaired, if the buying and selling and investing that we do in other parts of the world are cut off, other nations will be plunged into chaos and despair. It is a prime belief of the communist philosophy that our kind of economy is doomed to failure. The communists predict that our prosperity will collapse, bringing the rest of the free world down with it. But they're wrong. They're just as wrong as they can be. We must not falter now. We must not defeat our own efforts by doing only half the job that lies before us. The brave men whose memory we honor here did all that was required of them. They did not fail us. We must not fail them in our efforts to reach the goal for which they died. We must press on in the confidence that we will succeed in the mission that divine providence has assigned to us.